the Knesset has voted unanimously to establish a special kangaroo court for October 7th, 2023, Hamas suspects. They will be tried in not as individuals, but in mass trials. They will not have standard rights granted to a defendant in Israeli or Western courts. They will be subject to the death penalty, and evidence obtained under torture will be allowed. Well, so what shall we talk about first?
I'm fascinated by all these stories, to be honest. The Israeli one, I'm not entirely shocked by. I mean, a country that's been murdering people en masse, that has been attacking its neighbors relentlessly, that has been trying to Gazify southern Lebanon, it's not shocking to me that under torture, rape, that they would use testimony in order to go after others. The reality of it is Israeli should be put on trial. Netanyahu should be hung. And I would say he's not the only one.
I agree. It's not a surprise. I thought, you know, but the details are always where things get interesting in a story like this. I mean, I mentioned that the Knesset voted unanimously. However, a couple dozen legislators decided to abstain or not attend the vote. That symbolism of that is, I don't approve of this, but I'm scared to outright vote no. I'm not going to roll Barbara Lee style here. I'm just going to sit it out. You can do it, but you can do it without me. Obviously, that's not enough, you know, when considering what we're talking about here. I mean, you know, to me, it seems like if I were in the Israeli government and I was furious about October 7th and I wanted to deal with this in a way that lended Israel international credibility, I would say we're going to bend over backwards to give these people all the rights that they're entitled to as a defendant. If we tortured them, we let them go. The ones that we didn't torture, we give them great attorneys. We give them good trials. We want this to be unimpeachable. That's just not what they're doing. I mean, and I think to me, what that indicates is the Israelis just don't give a shit about international public opinion.
They don't. I don't see, I mean, like, it doesn't seem to be something that's on the forefront of their mind or that they're concerned about, because they believe that they have a blank check from a superpower. I mean, I've had this conversation before where it's like the blank check thing is big. Like, if I tell you, hey, I'm going to back you, we're going to give you billions of dollars, you have nukes to their staff, and we are going to protect you in international court. We're going to protect you from the United Nations General Assembly, and we're going to protect you in the UN Security Council, and we're going to try to mobilize our propaganda in order to give you this megaphone about how you're the most moral military in the world and all this other nonsense. Then how do you behave in that sense? You behave as if you have a blank check. And how do other countries behave with a blank check? When the U.S. goes to the Philippines and say, hey, we're going to give you weapons. We need you to be boisterous towards China. The Philippines says, hey, sure, we'll do that. Okay, if they didn't have the blank check, would the Philippines act that way? Or would Ukraine act that way in regards to negotiations if it didn't have a blank check of the U.S. and, let's say, you're backing it? The blank check matters. So, yeah,
You're totally right. And that's what's going on here. It's like, it's kind of like you're in a dust up on the elementary school playground, you have the biggest kid in sixth grade on your side, and you're going to be a little cocky, except for the day that maybe he's out sick. And then, oh shit, October 7th was the day that, like, you know, we were out sick and Hamas finally got some payback. I guess what I'm wondering here is, I mean, so I don't know. I don't get, even in the hyper propagandized environment of domestic Israeli politics, and it's important to remember here, Israel is a country that speaks, where Hebrew is the official language on television. It's not a country. So therefore, a lot of Israelis only speak Hebrew, which means that They can watch the BBC, but they don't understand what the fuck is going on. They can watch Al Jazeera, but they don't know what the fuck is going on. And so they've been propagandized. There's been lots of studies showing that they're not seeing the same imagery from Gaza that we've seen. So they don't really know, even though they're closer to the story than we are in the rest of the world. But still, you know, everyone knows someone who's in the IDF. The people come back, they talk, they tell stories. A lot of Israeli soldiers have come back deeply traumatized, very guilty. A lot of them have committed suicide. There's a lot of psychological pain there on their side as well for what they've been ordered to do. How do they reconcile the fact that, for example, Israel famously is a country that doesn't have the death penalty? Right. And therefore, that puts it in line with like Western Europe. It, you know, to join the EU, you have to be a country that doesn't have the death penalty. Turkey had to abolish the death penalty in order to be considered for EU membership. So to be a modern, real country, you have to get rid of capital punishment. So here, they're not only restoring it, but they're only restoring it in a very special circumstance. Like, well, if you're guilty of this particular crime, we're going to kill you, and we're going to kill you under circumstances, we're going to try you, you know, with less consideration than the high Nazi hierarchy received, at Nuremberg, and for that matter, in Jerusalem, in the case of Eichmann in the early 1960s. I don't know how they think that this is okay.
Well, I mean, but they do have the death penalty. They murder people all the time. I mean, like when they're in the West Bank and the soldiers are standing there as, these lunatics with guns and beards go murdering the people in the West Bank because they want to take their property. That's murder. That's state sponsored murder. Like whether they put the person on trial or not is almost secondary to the point that that's what they're doing as a basis of operation moving forward, almost as policy. Meaning, if you're a troop, a soldier in Gaza, and you bomb and take somebody's home and you murder that person, that's murder. When you have these lunatics holding guns for people trying to get food and they're shooting at people as they're trying to get food, that's murder. Like, or in the West Bank, those things are issues of state policy, and I would argue murder. Whether they have the show trial or whether they just go through and murder the various people, to me, those things are the same. You can say that there's a difference because they were pretending to have a trial. Okay. I don't see a dramatic difference between whether the state chooses to murder somebody in the context of, let's say, working with the military to do so in the West Bank, where they're doing so to steal land in Lebanon, or whether they're doing it in Gaza. To me, all of those things are the same.
I think that's everything you said is true. And, you know, maybe, it's my bourgeois upbringing that makes me think that it matters, you know, that like the official stance of a government versus, you know, their theoretical, rhetoric and their construction of their constitution and their legal framework relative to their actual facts on the ground and the way that they actually behave. I guess I do think it matters a little bit, but probably does not matter as much as I think. So I'll take your point on that.